Hello, everybody. John Ashworth here, a.k.a. Johnny Renaissance, here on the ashflash.com. Be sure to become a subscriber. And MC Ashworth at Fraser Consultants. They call me MC because I'm constantly coming to you with broadcasts like this one. And today I'm going to try something I haven't tried in a while, which is going back to the golden notebooks. I am constantly reading, constantly learning, constantly studying, constantly growing as a human being so that I can inspire you to do great things in your life, along with myself, along with those that I come into contact with. In fact, I just gave a talk for the ICCFA. They have something every year. They call it their Dead Talks. And for those of you who don't know, it's the International Cemetery, Cremation, and Funeral Association. That's what ICCFA stands for. And they have their Dead Talks every year, which is their equivalent of TED Talks. The title of my talk was To Sell is to Serve. Now, there should be a link near this video or podcast where you have found this one, so you can find that talk easily. It's a 30-minute talk, and I've gotten some great feedback on that. It is how I approach my work as a salesperson, and it is the spirit of what I want to share with you today, which is really just going back into my notebooks and trying to help you cultivate the slight edge. You never know, here in the Ash Flash or the Fraser blog or wherever else I'm putting up these broadcasts, where you're going to find a little nugget of inspiration, a little thought, a little idea, something that transforms and catapults your life, business, and career in some amazing way. And don't think that's a lot of hype. Go through the ashflash.com. There's a lot of amazing stuff there. I'm starting to put a lot of that stuff up onto the Fraser blog, and there is no end in sight. This is only the beginning. I am pumped up for 2022. Just had my annual review. Got a lot of great feedback about the work I've been doing for Fraser, the work I've been doing in the funeral profession, the work I've been doing on the Ash Flash, and this is only the beginning, my friends. There is a quote I want to share with you right at the beginning of this. And don't take this the wrong way, like I'm getting too big for my own britches here. But I love this quote because it's how I've approached my entire life. I love to learn. I love to grow. I love to cultivate that slight edge, like I'm talking about. Our task in life is to learn, to become godlike through knowledge. So this is where I don't want you to blow out of proportion the godlike part of that quote. Make that whatever you need to make it, but take away the message, which is that you can achieve amazing things by constantly learning, constantly growing, constantly cultivating that slight edge. So in the spirit of that, I'm just going to go through the last four or five pages of notes, which is all based on the reading and the videos and whatever content I've been consuming, content and information, and share some things with you on sales, on life, on business, and maybe even a little tidbit about your funeral home website, and you can take it away and accomplish amazing things in your life. So this was from my talk, To Sell is to Serve. Like I said, there should be a link nearby so you can get access to that talk. I wrote an ebook along with that titled How to Take the Resistance Out of Selling. So it's the way I've approached my business and my career forever, but especially my sales. To sell is to serve. How do you take the resistance out of selling? You stop working on your own agenda and you start thinking about the prospect and the customer and what they need and what they need and how they need you to help them make a decision about what makes the most sense for them and their lives, their businesses, or whatever it is they're deciding on. When I did that in the car business, for example, I had so many customers over the years tell me, John, this was the best car buying experience I ever had. That was my goal. And I heard it all the time. And, you know, that was almost enough for me to create that kind of an experience in an environment where people most of the time have a terrible, awful experience was an amazing accomplishment. I learned more in sales in 4 years in the car business than I learned anywhere else. Car sales is tough, man. It is a tough business. But it's worth it because the relationships that you can build with your customers and your colleagues and your sales managers is unmatched. And what you will learn about what it takes to make sales happen no matter what. And again, not because you're pushing stuff on people, because you're constantly working the deal and taking care of your customers and serving to sell. So What's the number one secret to doubling your sales? The number one secret to doubling your sales is to spend more time selling. We all get caught up in this. We get distracted. On any given day, there's a million other things you could do that are not selling. A million other distractions, a million other problems that you can focus on versus just thinking to yourself every minute of the day, what do I need to do right now to get back to selling something? What do I need to do right now to get back to selling something? And then I have two other things on this list. Spend more time thinking. It's really, really important that you spend time in your life, in your business, in your career at times. Just stop and spend some time thinking. I get up very early in the morning out there in the Ash Flash workshop. Almost every morning I do some reading and some really good thinking. And then I do a lot of great thinking when I'm out walking, when I'm swimming, when I'm strength training, when I'm doing my exercise, and at any other time where I feel inspired. And then the third part of this is master the fundamentals. A lot of people get caught up trying to become better salespeople, and they get caught up in trying to get cute about it. You don't have to get cute about it. You just need to do the work. Sometimes it's just really about getting to work on the fundamentals. And you know what the number one most important thing is about that? Is becoming a better listener. Stop talking. Shut up. Shut up. Ground yourself and listen to the person sitting across from you. Listen to what they're telling you and help them find the solution that they need. Master those fundamentals before you go off and get cute and try and, you know, take advantage of all the other things that are so shiny and so fun, but often so distracting. And pardon me if you're watching the video version of this. I got a little itch in my nose. It's the middle of winter here in Wisconsin. Been freezing cold. Today it got a little warmer, which is nice, but you know, kind of messes with the sinuses. So moving on to other ideas, other topics that are related to sales, related to life, related to becoming godlike through knowledge and expertise. Here's another one. The perfect time to plant an oak tree was 25 years ago. So that's the perfect time to plant an oak tree was 25 years ago. The second best time is now. Get started today on the thing you want to create tomorrow, next week, next year, next 3 years. Every great salesperson is doing something that will create a deal today and that will create a deal 3 years from now. Somebody just messaged me on LinkedIn. He said, John, I just got into the car business. I just became a car salesman. Do you have any advice? And a lot of it was around just focus on creating the best car buying experience the person has ever had. Do things in the exact opposite way that you see 90% of the other salespeople and managers working. And be in it for the long run. Plant that oak tree now so that 25 years from now you can put a nice swing up and hang out with your grandkids underneath it. Okay, so that was another good one. All right, moving on. This is good because this is going to get this two parts of this topic, and it has to do with your sales presentations, okay? And being scripted. A lot of people avoid it. I don't want to run off a script. I'm going to sound scripted. Well, yeah, of course you will. When you first write that script and you first practice that script, you're going to sound scripted. There's no doubt about it, but the goal and the game is to do the copywriting first. Do the sales copywriting first for the product and service or whatever it is that you're offering, and then build that into your presentation as a performer. So you build the copywriting first, and then you become a performer. Every sales presentation is a performance. It absolutely is, and there are steps and there are places where you know you got to get the right answers to the right questions so you can move on to the next step. So that you don't end up at the end of that process with a confused prospect and a confused customer, which is no good for you, but it's especially not good for them. They're trying to solve their problems, whatever those might be, and it is your job to help them do that. And they can't do that if they are confused by what is happening. And then the second part of this is really, really important. Selling is not giving a bunch of presentations with no results, all right? With no close of the deal, because nobody wins in that situation. Selling is about an outcome, not an activity. Selling is not about making presentations. It is about making sales. It is about helping your customers find the solution they need to the problems that they have. All right, moving on now. Just a couple more things here. The best sales pro, I already told you that part, but I'm going to read it again because it's so vital and it's so important. The best sales pro will craft their presentation as a copywriter. Sorry, I thought I lost my video feed there. The best sales pro will craft their presentation as a copywriter and deliver it as a performer. That's the connection you want to build between your sales process and your marketing. They are intertwined. You cannot separate them. I do not care how big your company is or what the agendas are. You cannot separate the sales process from the marketing process. I mean, you can, and it happens all the time, and it's a major disconnect. And you're missing opportunity and you're missing results when you do that. That is the hardest thing that I see happen in the world is now I have all this knowledge, I have all this expertise, I have all this wisdom, I have all this incredible passion, and every business I go into, I'm evaluating on these merits. And I actually do have a little story to share with you on that, but let me make sure there isn't one more thing I wanted to say about that. This is just one more little tidbit about the sales and sales process. This is just a little something I heard, and I think it's great mindset. You're not always going to be able to do this 100%, but it's really, really important. Never agree to anything that the prospect might say to you that keeps the sale from moving forward. Okay? And this is not about manipulating people into doing something that they don't want to do. It's about helping them make a smooth transition from where they are to where you know they want them to be, because you know how much they're going to benefit from what you're offering them. Never agree to anything that won't keep the sale moving forward. And what that gets into is some other stuff that was in here somewhere, but I kind of lost track of it as I got so excited. Oh, here it is. Language matters. Language matters a great deal. All public battles are won or lost by language. Words, sentences, copywriting. You have to take responsibility for all of these things as a salesperson, as a marketing person. Keep all of that in mind. Here's my story, okay? I spent $1,000 on a brand new chair for my office here. $1,000. Can you believe that? Why did I do that? Well, because I sit here all day long and for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, I want to be comfortable. So that's important to me. It's the same reason I spend $30 on so many of my different Yeti cups. They bring me a lot of joy and they are part of me every single day. This chair, which I'll do a review on at some point because it's just amazing. It's an Aeron chair. And here's my story, okay, before I go on and on about this chair, because I think they just, as a fitness guy, as an ex-fitness guy, but, you know, formerly a personal trainer, fitness coach, running my own fitness business and being really in tune with my body and exercising regularly and doing strength training and swimming and walking and everything that I do to maintain my physical self, so that I can be here for you in these podcasts and be here for my customers in the sales, whatever, to do my work and be successful. That's an important foundation. I'm very in tune with that. And I sat down in this chair and I thought to myself, my goodness, they figured it out. Every little nuanced thing that I hate about desk chairs and about what they don't do for my body. Like even right now, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. This is a really nice chair. I like this chair, the Barca Lounger. It's a fantastic chair, but it's not quite what I needed it to be. So I went out and invested in another one. And I mean, it keeps me more active. It adjusts as I move around the desk. It's very simple to use. There aren't like 12 different things I have to adjust to get it just right. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the Aeron Cosm chair, COSM. Check it out. But anyway, here's my point. I went to a local retail store to look at these chairs because they have them on the showroom floor. And what did I do? I did what so many other people do on the car lot. I went in, I looked at the chairs, I sat on the chairs, I found the chair I really wanted, and then I left the store and bought another one on eBay. Now you might think, oh, John, come on, you should be supporting your local retailer. No, no, no. Yeah, that's all true. But with the supply chain problems and a number of other things, and the fact that the way they handled me in that store was totally wrong, I just couldn't get behind the idea of buying a chair for $500 more from that store. It didn't make sense. So I found a used version, which is essentially like a new version because I think it's like a showroom model, and I ordered that on eBay. Now, normally, I'd be all for the luxury experience of working with a salesperson and paying a premium for an added level of experience and service and expertise. And in this case, I'm still a little bit concerned. I spent that much money, and I don't know exactly where this place even is or where the chair is coming from. So hopefully it will all turn out the way I think it will. But there's always a chance that it might not, and I'll wish I would have went back and bought it from this place. But I would have had to wait 3 months for that chair to get here versus a couple of weeks. Excuse me. I'm running out of steam here. I got to finish up this podcast for you. But here's my point. I walk in, and I did this on purpose. I walked into the store, and instead of walking in and saying, "Hey, I'm interested in a new office chair. I know you carry the Aerons. I'd like to see them. Let me go check them out." I walked in and said, "I'm looking for a. Can I help you, sir? I'm looking for a good footrest." Is what I said. I'm looking for a good footrest, and I could just see the salesperson, the look on her face. And she thought to herself, "God dang it, I was up, and this is the guy who comes in, the guy looking for a $100 footrest? Ah, my goodness." So she brings me over, shows me the one footrest option that they have. I say, "Well, I don't really like that one. I don't like the way it moves." I mean, I was looking for a good footrest. If I would have found one, I would have bought one. But then she just walked away. So I thought, okay, perfect. I'll just spend some time sitting in all these chairs. Now, if she had stuck around, we would have started a conversation. We would have engaged in the process, and we would have been off and running toward a sale. I guarantee you that. In fact, if they would have offered me the floor model of the chair that I've been talking about, which they had there on the floor, I would have bought it. I think I probably would have. I would have bought that chair that day. But no one asked me for the deal. That's a very common problem with salespeople. They get to the end of the process and they don't even ask for the sale. Stop being afraid of asking for the sale. Find a creative way to do it if you have to, but ask for the business. The only thing that can happen is the customer or the prospect said, "No, I'm not interested right now." Well, that's fine. What does your timeline look like? Or, you know, what can I do to, you know, there's a million different things you can do. Anyway, she saunters off. I spend 10 minutes looking at these chairs. And then I do have some legitimate questions. So I go back and I find her. She's sitting at her computer and obviously does not want to talk to me anymore. She's working with a different customer. So she turns me over to somebody else. So now this happens a lot at car dealerships too, by the way. And so for anybody who's watching this, and I know for the guy who just sent me the message on LinkedIn, just keep this in mind. You never know, and it always surprised me over and over again where my buyers came from every month. People that I thought, there's no way this person is going to buy a car, ended up as one of the deals, for that month. Over and over again, that happens. So she turns me over to another person. That person was actually pretty helpful to me, but never asked for my contact information, never asked for a deal for a sale. And I was giving hints and signs that well, would you consider the floor model here, John? Because if you need to, and you don't want to wait 8 weeks for the chair, we can offer you the floor model. Now, they may not have done that, because then they don't have a floor model sitting there that they can sell to people. And I would say that's a mistake for any retail shop in a situation like that, especially with something like that. They're the only store in town in Madison that I can go and sit on these chairs. You should have two of every one in the back and one out on the showroom floor. So that if somebody comes in and they're interested, you can say, "Hey, I'll make you a deal on this one." And boom, I would have spent $1,200-$1,300 on that. I would have spent a little more than I spent on eBay. Absolutely. The opportunity never arose. And then we're done talking and no effort to contact me, to collect my contact information so that they could get in contact me again, send me some additional information, maybe offer me a discount when I'm ready to order. Anything that would have tied me back to that resale shop. Nothing happened. I walked out of there. I bought the chair somewhere else. Now, I'm sure this store is doing fine without me. Okay. What I'm saying is, how much business, how much opportunity, how many sales are you missing in your business because you don't have these systems tied together, because you're not being careful and diligent about all the little ways you can increase sales in your business? It's a really important thing to think about. I went on a little longer than I wanted to about that, but I hope you got the point of the story. I really appreciate you being here if you're still here. Thanks for listening. Be sure to become a subscriber on theashflash.com. If you are on the this won't be on the Fraser website, but if you're a funeral director or funeral home and you're looking to improve your technology needs and level up, as they're saying, your technology platform, be sure to head over to FraserConsultants.com/John-Ashworth. Get in contact with me there, and I'd love to have a conversation with you. And that's the thing here, too. Like, I don't care. Call me. Email me. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out if there's some way I might be able to help you. But no pressure. I'm here as a resource for you. So call me. Email me. Reach out to me and keep listening and keep watching. And once again, you have no idea how grateful I am that you are here listening and being a part and being engaged with the work that I am so passionate about, that I love to do. And to all my colleagues over there at Fraser, thanks for believing in me. Thanks for letting me explore and celebrate my gifts and my passions and the work that I do for you. Take care, everybody. John Ashworth signing off for now. Be good out there.